From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Hey, Hakuna Matata.
Aaron Gobrach. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we are going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, tonight, it is Tuesday, March 17th, 2009, St. Patrick's Day.
And this is show 032. So, hi, Storm.
Hi, Paul.
What a week we have had.
Yeah, I'm a tired, happy doggy right now.
Yeah.
Oh, a tail's wagging, even if I'm, you know, a little bit dragging myself around the house.
Yeah.
But, you know, several thousand miles of travel and many, many hours of awesome will do that.
There's going to be a lot of talking about ourselves on this podcast, just to give you all fair warning.
So if you're looking for
it remotely interesting, let's start off. Let's just cruise through the big board.
Y'all, we have 142 certified minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions.
Welcome.
The newly redubbed Free Money Fund, formerly the Paul and Storm Server Fund, it stands at two pizzas.
Okay.
Are we going to be changing
that measure? Are we going to continually measure it in pizza? Or
I think whatever's appropriate to kind of how much we've received, so you get sort of an idea.
Sure.
But at some point it will de-link and we'll talk about, you know, 8 flux capacitors.
Right.
Or, you know, 9 angels dancing on the head of a pin, which is
5 Han Solos encased in carbonite.
Right. Or, yeah, exactly. 50 qubits of... Qubits. Can you have qubits of qubits? I don't know. No one knows what they are, so I suppose you could.
A qubit?
Yeah.
A qubit, I thought my understanding was it was the measure of the length from the nose to the tip of the fully extended index finger of whomever the king was at the time.
That's only the best guess. Like, that's sort of what they think the qubit is.
Uh-huh.
I think it's more fun to imagine the qubit was like a vegetable that doesn't grow anymore.
Like a really long vegetable, like a 3-foot vegetable?
A 3-foot vegetable that tasted awesome.
3-foot vegetable is the front runner for the name of this podcast.
And that always grew to like that exact size, no matter what you did.
It was an anal retentive vegetable.
All right, we're not through the big board yet, and we're already...
No, that's okay.
Talking, okay, let's stick with the big vegetable.
Well, no, I didn't mean to stick with the big vegetable. I was just making feel better about the fact that we've spent 2 minutes on the big board already. So go ahead and blow through the rest of it.
Okay. Whedon Watch, more on that later. McCartney Watch, no progress whatsoever that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
Poochie Corner, I do have a little thing.
Okay.
I'm going with, and you found this, Paul, actually, you found this earlier today. I was spotted in public, and someone made a note of it on their Twitter account.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the coolest thing. Only corollary to that is, while I was in O'Hare, I'm also pretty sure someone called me an asshole under their breath.
Like they muttered it as you went by or something?
Yeah, like I'm walking along with my guitar and my black-clad self, just kind of ambling along. And it was someone who was, you know, roughly our age, I would say. Mm-hmm. And as I passed them, I could swear I heard, asshole. You know, it wasn't like so loud and there was no one else around and I wasn't doing anything. Like I didn't cut this person off.
Right.
I wasn't wearing, you know, a t-shirt that said, you know, kill babies or don't kill babies or something that would rile someone on one side of the spectrum or the other. So, I don't know. It could have been this person, but like saying hi, Storm, though that doesn't sound a lot like asshole.
Nope. And the person in their Twitter didn't say they said hi, they just said they spotted you.
Right, right. And so, if I'm not mistaken, they they didn't at us either.
It's a wonderful mystery. Did you run a search to see if anyone, like, Twittered, saw some guitar-toting asshole at O'Hare today?
No, but I would think that most people who have Twitter accounts would think a guitar-toting dude would be pretty cool. So
I suppose. Well, it shall remain a mystery, much like the Trinity.
Either way, I'm flattered that someone actually recognized me in public and thought enough to tell whoever it was that they communicate with. Or maybe I'm on, like, their watch list.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, whoops, I'm getting an echo on my phone. Anyway, let's get on to the fresh. Enough about
let us. Let about, us. So it was, as we mentioned, a very busy week. We started out the middle of last week. We had a corporate event, which we won't talk a heck of a lot about, other than to note that it was
boring.
There.
Boring.
But it was fun. I'm not to discuss details, but, you know, considering how these things can go, we had a good time. But nonetheless, it took up a good bit of time and creative energy.
Well, yeah,
then
when
we had one day off, and then we took off for a trip to Texas.
Now, when I just want to back up. When I said boring, I'm not saying that we were bored, in case the people were listening. Just that it's not
yes.
It's not interesting to you, the listening public. Kisses. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's quite all right. So we went to Texas. We started out in Houston, which was a lovely show at the House of Blues in Houston.
Terrific.
And then we went to Austin, where most people, well, I don't know about most, many people may be aware the South by Southwest conference is going on. That started out, as I understand it, as a music conference, which became an extremely large music conference, which then grew an offshoot film festival. And now also has an offshoot, what they call South by Southwest Interactive, which is a weekend plus long gathering of people interested in technology and the web and the internet and all things sort of technical and wizardy like that. The reason we mention it is a big gathering of a lot of people who are internet famous. And by that, we don't necessarily just mean our friend Jonathan Colton, although he certainly was there as we were touring together. But people, like, you go to this conference and you're walking down the hallway, and if you're walking with somebody who knows such things, they will say, oh, look, there are the two people that started Flickr. And, hey, there's the guy that wrote the first version of Firefox. And oh, look, here's the guy that did the first podcast ever. And they're
so
just, you know.
All the people responsible for most of the cool things that you have seen, done, or interacted with online.
Yes. So it's like that. And we had a wonderful show there. And me being, as we have discussed numerous times on this podcast, the dedicated starfucker that I am... met lots of interesting, met some old friends and some new friends as well. We ran into all the guys from the You Look Nice Today podcast, whom, two of the three of them we had known before.
Right, we got to meet Adam, known as Lonely Sandwich, who was missing You Look Nicer.
The most bearded of the You Look Nice Todayers. we met, Scott Beal from Laughing Squid, finally met him in person, having interacted with him online. We met MC Frontalot, nerdcore artist. Nerdcore being, of course, geek rap.
We got to see... go ahead.
No, I was just going to say he was a wonderful, friendly guy. We talked, you know, fonts and being touring musicians and about, you know, records dropping and laying down fat beats and stuff like that.
And fronting, because that's very important to him.
There was some fronting to be had. We met Andy Bayo from Waxy.org. If you don't recognize the name, you may recognize the fact that he, I believe, discovered and named and tracked down the Star Wars kid from the infamous viral video of the kid sort of, you know, filming himself pretending to be Darth Maul, which people then took and... redid on the internets.
And they're all very enjoyable people to drink with, by and large, which we did quite a lot.
We met all kinds of cool people. The crowning achievement of which I can still barely bring myself to say it out loud for fear of it not actually being true.
Let me set the stage.
Please do.
So we had the show. We had a show we were actually doing in Austin, as well as just being at the South by Southwest Festival.
Yes.
And it was at this great club, Antone's, storied venue. Most notable person who came up through Antone's was Stevie Ray Vaughan. So
right.
It's a very storied place. And audience was great. We were having a terrific time and had a great set ourselves. Felt great about it. And we were up in the green room. And Paul, you were checking Twitter.
Oh,
as we
yeah, that just you know, because that's what we immediately do after our set is to check Twitter to see what people are saying about
right.
us.
It's the Pucci thing. We want to know. We know that people were screaming and yelling and you know participating, but it's not real unless someone says, "OMG, Paul and Storm were awesome." You know.
Yeah. And to be fair, we don't just do that. Like that's not my. You know, we get off stage and we want to you know chill out, so we pop on the internet. But certainly, one of the things we do is check our Twitter account, and I saw the fact that Felicia Day, internet celebrity, former star of Buffy and Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, and object of Paul Saborin's fascination.
Mine as well.
Yes, yours as well.
Just your.
Yeah. I don't mean to sell you short.
No, you're not. I just want to have it on the record. That's all.
Yes. Who we knew was in town, but is also from the Austin area, so it had been our understanding that she was going to be spending a lot of time with her family, twittered that she was at the Tumblr party or something like that. So I twittered some little wise-ass remark that I would be wearing my guild shirt anyway, even though she wasn't at our show because I hold no grudges, which I had been planning on doing anyway. That was the shirt that I had brought to wear during Jonathan's set.
And which you, I would say you wear about half the time during Jonathan's set.
Yeah, it's just sort of, you know, I like to rotate through my various ironic and geek appeal t-shirts, and it's one of the newer ones I have, so I do wear it relatively often. Helps
between
me
that
pander
and Captain,
to the base.
Between that and Captain Hammer.
Yeah.
Which usually gets the bigger reaction just because it's so noticeable
distance. It's easier to see from the stage. So we're doing our set, and we come off stage, and our little backstage area is right next to the VIP area, and one of our VIP friends who was waiting there said, "Felicia Day is here at the show. She Twittered about it," which she indeed had done, and one thing leading to another, we sent a few direct messages back and forth. Snuck back around to the front of the venue and met Felicia Day in person.
So I almost feel like it's a separate holiday from Acknowledgement Day.
It
you know?
Is. It's sort of like an extra holiday. Or maybe it's one we celebrate them both on Acknowledgement Day, but it, just sort of the way you celebrate President's Day as opposed to Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday.
Right. Or, you know, if you're Jewish, like how the high holidays all sort of string together.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. But it was pretty, she really was exactly as she seems.
Yeah,
you know?
she was very sweet and friendly and did not think we were creepy old men stalking her.
In fact, she was very apologetic about not wanting to, you know, interfere with what we were all doing. And
yeah.
I remember thinking, you know, are you kidding?
Yeah.
It's awesome, but you're here. So
it was nonetheless one of those slightly surreal moments that we've talked about before. Like, here's this person that I have seen on my computer and on my TV screen. Suddenly there she is in person, 3 feet from me, interacting with me and talking with me. And I had a little holy shit moment in my head in the middle of it.
I felt like such a goob the whole
time.
Yeah,
I did too. I really did too. Like especially the fact that I was wearing my guild t-shirt.
Well, you did not come across as a fanboy at all, so I wouldn't worry about that.
That's because I didn't show her my slash fiction that I had written.
Right, and the fact that you had her picture stitched into your underwear. Good
and
thing
tattooed onto my inner thigh, yeah.
See, my issue is I have a horrible fear, especially when complimenting people that I like, of coming across as a complete phony.
Yep.
So I end up like not, you know, just playing it so cool.
You end up being blasé.
Well, yeah, maybe not even blasé, but just sort of, you know, yeah. Well, let's go with blasé.
Sure.
It just it's one of those embarrassing moment things, you know, that just the word blasé. Rips through me that way.
But to sum it up, I guess, it was, you know, just like we were talking about on, I don't know if it was the last podcast or the one before that, about a potentially embarrassing moment, you know, could have gone very poorly and went about as well as we could have hoped. And she was just as sweet as could be. And very gracious with her fans. And, you know, it was funny.
Oh,
We were walking on our way back to the secret side entrance, and somebody came popping out of the club
Spotted us,
saying, "Hey, wow, you guys did a great show. I hear, I saw on Twitter, apparently Felicia Day's here."
Felicia Day was standing right next to us.
So we just sort of pointed and moved to the side, and she freaked out. It was awesome.
It was like something from a movie. So hopefully, if that person happens to be listening, you should not be embarrassed about that at all. Because
no, we thought that was great.
She just thought it was awesome, too.
So there was that. And on top of all of this stuff going on, we have a final conclusion to our great lengthy Geek Madness tournament.
That's now, are we actually going to, we didn't discuss this beforehand. Do we want to spill these beans? Not like people don't know already.
Yeah, it's not like they can't see on the website, so we certainly can talk about it.
Yeah, well, it's Will Wheaton.
Yeah, congratulations, Will Wheaton. Yeah. Here's the sound of my applause in the background.
Here's me trying not to drop the phone, doing the same.
Yeah, Will Wheaton went up against Joss Whedon for the finals, and it was topsy-turvy for a while because Will had the lead for the first day or so, and then the information got posted on Whedon-esque, and the Joss Whedon fans came out in droves. And then with about 2 days left, John Scalzi posted about it on his website, and then the Geek Dad blog on the Wired website, on Wired.com, posted about it, and suddenly the Wheaton fans came a-tumbling through.
Now that the outcome is determined, like, through this whole process, I felt it was really important to be, you know, to really not comment on the matchups or, you know, to try to tilt anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's over now. I'm just going to go ahead and say, from the outset, Will was one of the folks I was really hoping would get the whole crown.
Yep. It seemed like he would, you know, of all the people, like, first of all, we have some degree of I wouldn't say we're friends, but, like, we've met him and he knows who we are. And we were reasonably confident that he would totally get it.
Yep.
Which he appears to do perfectly. He sort of understands where it's coming from. And while it's this cool, silly little pretend thing that he's sort of he's adopted the right tone from the beginning in his approach to it.
And beyond that, like, there are a number of people that I feel would fit this as well. But I kind of feel like he's someone who will actually use that title, whether or not. And I'll get to this later. It's anything official, and that it can genuinely help coalesce this geek community, and that there is legitimacy to it. I'm going to count up how many votes were actually cast, but it's easily in the tens of thousands, if not 100,000 or a couple hundred thousand votes total. So yeah. I'd say he's got a real claim to the crown.
He's got a constituency
now. I have some connections, nothing big, and they're genuinely tenuous, but I'm going to try to pull a Paul and play those connections for all they're worth.
Going to make some stuff happen?
Yeah.
Or try to?
I'm going to try to make it happen.
I think it's fair to say we are working with Will to try and figure out what to do next with this. Or let's just say how he shall officially gain his title.
I think there should be a sacrifice.
Ooh, like a living thing?
Well,
or should we take an old HP laptop and strike it with a hammer?
That, I guess, if it's powered on at the time, then it needs to show some sign of life to be a proper sacrifice.
Should it be running like Windows 3.1?
Or how about maybe like a Tagamuchi?
A Tamagotchi, you mean?
No, a Tagamuchi.
Or do you mean
the Bolivian
knockoff, the Tagamuchi? Or is that some sort of sushi dish that I don't know about?
No, the Tagamuchi was actually a brick that they would draw a face on.
That was for the poor kids?
Yeah, as it eroded, you know, you would know if you were a good parent or not.
And they made a killing with all of the Tegamuchi accessories. There was the Tegamuchi diaper.
Oh, it was nuts. It was like the pet rock craze.
The stroller.
Immensely profitable.
There was the GED. You could buy it, and you could send it to tech school so it could learn a trade.
Yep.
Because he knew it wasn't bound for higher education.
No, it's a brick. Although, I think we've all seen people in our lives who weren't much more than bricks who seemed to do quite well. So shouldn't slag on the bricks.
Sure. So that's all of the talking about us stuff.
Well, this isn't about us, but it does relate to the trip.
Uh-huh.
We had some pretty awesome food on this trip.
We sure as heck did.
All along the line, it didn't always treat our stomachs well, or at least it didn't treat mine. Mm-hmm. Went to a pretty awesome taqueria in Houston. If you don't have taquerias in your town, I'd be surprised. But the idea is it's somewhere between like a fast Mex restaurant and a full-on Mexican restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And they put all their energies into just a few things generally. Fillings for tacos. This one had tamales as well. Most of them do, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm all bumming because I can't remember the name. Was it Tacos a Go-Go? Was
it? Yes. Matter of fact, that was exactly it. Tacos a Go-Go.
So if you're in Houston or happen to be, the Salt Lick, the fabled barbecue joint outside of Austin.
I guess we're into Paul and Storm recommends here. Not that we're, surprising anyone with a recommendation for the Salt Lick, but...
I don't think of food as a recommendation. I just think that is, like, part of life.
Well, it can be both.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, the 10-minute mark was 11 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Now, there's apparently, like, the legendary original Salt Lick, which was hewn from the earth by giants or something.
Yeah, I believe it was always there, like the old gods.
That's not the one we went to.
We went to the one in Round Rock, I think.
Yeah, by the time we realized we weren't going to the correct, or the original one, that we were already 50 miles out of the way and very, very hungry. They have a great family option, which they'll give to you whether or not you're a family, and we were not a family, and they gave it to us, which is to have the family-style meat serving.
Yes. They basically would throw piles of meat onto the table until we could stand no more, and then they would throw half as many piles.
So it was like one of those Brazilian barbecues, but there wasn't a fob, no one was ridiculing you, and there weren't any chicken hearts or anything like that.
Correct.
Although I like the chicken hearts, for the record.
But you could do far, 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 far worse than the Salt Lick barbecue when you were in the Austin area.
All right. I have some other little things written down, but they're not pressing.
I have a potential topic for other discussion. It was going to be something we could talk about amongst ourselves, but we could just throw it out there.
All right. If it's dangerous, let's do it.
I think it is. This came out of a brief discussion I had with Merlin Mann from You Look Nice Today. There are three of them, and there were three of us, including Jonathan Colton. And Merlin mentioned at some point while Jonathan was on that he thought that he was the me of his little trio and vice versa. And by that, he meant sort of the one that talks the most and loves the attention the most. And we both immediately agreed that you are the lonely sandwich and vice versa, in that you guys have the facial hair and you're quieter and slower. So like not of slower of mind, but slower of pace, but you're like the comedy snipers that just sort of sit back and wait for your shot. And you have a much higher hit ratio than we do. And that got me thinking, remember back in the 90s when people would always say, well, which person in Friends are you? Or which, if you go back earlier, which Brady brother or sister are you? Or any sort of group of easily identifiable personality types.
Right.
Or, like which person from the Big Chill were you? Were you William Hurt, the gelded stoner Vietnam vet?
Yeah, that was me.
Or were you, Mary Beth Hurt or whatever?
Yeah, that was me.
And that's what I thought I'd put out there for folks to do, is to identify, first of all, the identifiable group. I was going to nail it down to, you know, are you the Paul or are you the Storm, or are you, you know, you know, which cast member of Friends or which character of Friends are you? But I think let's leave it way open ended and just say, you know, first identify the group, whether it's, you know, from a TV show or a rock group or whatever it might be, and then identify who you are and then justify your choice.
We're going to get like 30 Shaggies and a handful of Scoobies. Let's see. I don't know if there are really Gilligan's Island types out there. I mean, of course there are.
Could be.
That's kind of interesting. Let me throw that at you. We already know who we are in the You Look Nice Today universe.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think you are in the Scooby-Doo gang?
In the Scooby-Doo gang? I probably am Fred.
You think? Fred was like the dull guy.
Yeah, but he's also he tries to be the spokesman, just like I always tend to try to be the spokesman, or at least loves talking the most.
I guess so, but he was so
or
bland.
Maybe some common. You know, I'd like to think I'm some combination of Fred and is Velma the
brainy one.
Brainy one. I'd like to think I'm some combination of those two. Someone else will probably tell me that I'm Scooby. But what you gonna do?
What? Yeah, that's. Yeah, I think that's not cheating to do that.
Yeah. I mean, who would you say you are?
You know, I have a little bit of most of them.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the most I have is probably Shaggy.
Yeah, you certainly have that Shaggy lope and Shaggy's love of food.
Yep. Sometimes I'm Scooby. When I lose my shit, I turn into Scooby. Or if I'm over caffeinated.
Yep.
You've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little bit Velma.
And you
sort
got
of
Daphne's
the,
Gams.
Actually, let me tell you, back in high school, I was in a show choir.
Uh-huh.
Not afraid to admit that.
Yeah. Well,
mental note, there's another thing we have to talk about. And every year we would have like the awards of who is the best singer, who is the best dancer, et cetera, et cetera. One of them was who has the best legs, and this would be among the males and among the females.
Right.
I was the number two vote getter.
Wow, good for you, 17-year-old Storm.
I know, and it was a shock to me at the time. But now I know I have pretty awesome legs.
Uh-huh.
And the thing to talk about was not that, but the fact that there is a show choir now, today.
Oh, right.
That is going to be, or has a whole routine built out, an arrangement that they sing and dance to our song, Shake Machine.
That's right. They're going into their state tournament. And I am blanking on their name, unfortunately, because I'm that kind of guy. I don't have it in front of me. But best of luck to you all. We can't wait to see video of it.
So anyway, backtracking again, that was a big digression to the Scooby-Doo thing.
Sure.
I don't think I have much Daphne in me. I will say that. I'm not very gracious, except for the legs part. You're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally I have Fred going for me.
Well, you look
me.
Good in an ascot.
That's right.
Or a kerchief.
I am often found with an ascot.
Yep.
So I think that might
I'm
be
also
our audience.
Fred because I tend to always drive the Mystery Machine.
That's true. I'd say you're I'm going to go with 40% Fred because I don't want to make it more than 50% for you because then you'd be dull and you're not dull.
Why, thank you.
And then going to go with 20% each of Velma and Shaggy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, 20, you can sort of split however
like
you 15, will.
15-5 Scooby and Daphne?
Yeah, because everybody
with those
has
numbers. Yeah, I'm down with that.
So we want to know what your Scooby-Doo ratio is, or you can give your own group.
Right.
But I like the Scooby-Doo ratio.
That's another good front runner for the name of the...
Oh, and if you're a minion and you send it to us in the form of a pie chart...
There you go. Or a Venn diagram.
Or a Venn diagram to show where your core is. You'll get some sort of credit under your name in your Flickr account for the Brigade of the Minions.
Yes.
All right, I think that's a
good
job.
There it is. Yeah, that's as good a stopping point as any. We're almost at the half-hour mark. We're going to be in Bay City, Michigan this coming Friday, but it's sold out, ladies and gentlemen. There's no more seats. Sorry about that, but we'll let you know how the show went. We're going to be at Symphony Space in New York City with Jonathan Colton on Friday, March 27th. And in April, on the 10th and 11th, we're going to be at... that's when we're going to be at Penguins.
Yep, Comedy Club in Cedar Rapids,
and we're also
Iowa.
Going to be in Dubuque on Wednesday the 8th, and we're going to be in, Des Moines on Thursday the 9th, I believe?
I believe so.
And we're in Iowa on the week, on the 8th through the 11th, put it that way. You can find all of our touring information on the web at paulandstorm.com. We also just announced a show at Largo in Los Angeles on Sunday, May 17th. There will be some other California show or shows to go along with that, but we don't have official word on it yet. So,
and you can find out about that stuff and about becoming a minion or... Yep. Giving us money to buy things like pizza and electricity for our homes at paulandstorm.com. Be sure to check out the podcast tab.
Absolutely. I guess that covers it. Until next week, I am Paul.
I'm Storm, and we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Keep Austin weird.
Go do things.
When my time on earth is over, if I should fly to that sweet home of the angels up above, to all my earthly pleasures I will bid goodbye, but I'll miss that gospel bluegrass that I love. So gather round and raise your blessed voices, and enjoy that gospel bluegrass while you live. It's hard to find a banjo player up in heaven. There's some things even Jesus won't forgive. Swells of harps and bells awaiting. In heaven I'll hear Gabriel's trumpet blow, but I am reassured to know that Satan has lots of work for banjo players down below. Voices and enjoy that gospel bluegrass while you live. It's hard to find a banjo player up in heaven. There's some things even Jesus won't forgive. There's some things even Jesus won't forgive.